Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. Appreciate you listening every week at this same time to Bible Crossfire. While we're waiting on our first call, I thought we'd start off talking about Matthew 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus has a discourse here on divorce and remarriage based upon a question he's asked. Verse 1 of Matthew 19 reads this way, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" So the Pharisees are asking Jesus, is it lawful to put away our wives for every cause, or just any cause? Now, sometimes people say, well, that's what the Old Testament law taught, Deuteronomy 24. No, Deuteronomy 24:1 allowed the Old Testament Israelites to divorce their spouse for uncleanness, and that is more liberal than just for fornication, but it's not for every cause, it's for uncleanness. The Pharisees want to know, can we divorce our wife for every cause? That's the question, verse 3. Here's how Jesus answers that, verse 4. "And he answered and said unto them, Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause God shall... This cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh." Jesus is quoting Genesis 2:24 here. The very first marriage, when God instituted marriage between Adam and Eve, Jesus is referring back to that. He says God made them male and female, Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve is the cutesy saying, which gives us a good truth. It's not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. God made them male and female and said, a man shall leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Marriage is defined by Jesus, as he quotes from the very beginning, to be between male and female. Gay marriage is not authorized by God. Marriage should be between male and female. Now remember, he's answering this question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? In verse 6 he says, "Wherefore they are no more twain," that's the King James word for two, "they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Now, some marriages aren't put together by God, aren't joined together by God. Like, for example, we just mentioned a gay marriage. That kind of marriage, God did not join it together. But the marriages that God joins, Jesus says, do not let man put asunder, tear apart. Or the newer translations will say separate. This doesn't say it's impossible to put it asunder. Now, some think that it's impossible to put it asunder. No. He said, do not put it asunder. That's a command not to do it, which implies it is possible to do it. But if you do it, it's a sin. When you get married, assuming it's a scriptural marriage, not like a polygamous marriage, or not like a gay marriage, or not like an adulterous marriage, which we're about to read about in Matthew 19:9, assuming it's a scriptural marriage, God has joined the man and the wife, the male and the female together. Man is not to put it asunder. Not impossible to put it asunder. Like I said, killing somebody, murdering somebody is a sin, but it's not impossible to murder somebody. You can do it. God says don't murder. It doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean it's impossible to do it. It means you can do it. It's possible. Don't do it. And that's what this means. It's possible to separate a marriage, a scriptural marriage. But if you do, it's a sin. It's a violation of God's law. What God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I'm told that over 50% of the marriages today in the United States and Canada end up resulting in a divorce. Over 50% are being separated or put asunder by man, these marriages that God joins together. Man is ignoring God's law on this point wholesale. So they get this point. Can we divorce our wife for every cause? And Jesus' basic answer to that is no. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. So verse 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? Well, they're referring to Deuteronomy 24:1. Why did Moses allow that? Here's verse 8, Jesus' response to that. He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered or allowed you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery. Jesus said, you're right. Moses did allow people to put away their wives because of the hardness of their hearts. He says, but from the beginning, it was not that way. God did not intend that back in Genesis 2. But God, Moses, and God allowed it because of the hardness of the people's heart. But it was only a temporary injunction. He's saying it's not that way from the beginning. And in effect, he's saying in verse 9, I'm going to put it back to the way it was in the beginning. Yes, Moses allowed divorce for uncleanness. We're not going to allow that anymore. We're going to put it back the way it was in the beginning. And that's what he meant in verse 9 by saying, and I say to you, whoever puts away his wife, except it be for fornication and marry another, committeth adultery. So I've been married to Carol for 35 years. This says if I divorce Carol for any reason other than fornication, if she cheats on me sexually with another man, I have the right to divorce her in God's eyes, but I can't do it for any other reason. She doesn't cheat on me. I can't do it. If I get drunk every Saturday night, that's a sin. But my wife can't divorce me for that. Only if I cheat on her sexually. If you divorce your spouse for any reason except for fornication, this verse, and you marry another, you commit adultery. Adultery is a sin committed in the bed. It's a sexual sin. So the question would be at this point, suppose I divorce Carol for burning the biscuits, as I like to say, and marry another, Betty. Well, God is saying that divorce is wrong and your marriage to Betty is adulterous. Every time I sleep with that second wife, I'm committing adultery. So what I have to do, if I want to repent of that and receive forgiveness, well, I can't just say, God, I'm sorry I'm committing adultery with Betty, but oh, by the way, I plan to get in bed with her, my second wife, every weekend, indefinitely. You know, that's not repentance. Any more than if two gay men told God they're sorry, but they're going to continue in their sexual relationship. I can't continue in that sexual relationship with Betty. That's adultery. My repentance demands that I terminate that marriage. I terminate that adulterous marriage. Just like repentance would demand that I terminate a gay marriage or a polygamous marriage. I've got to terminate this adulterous marriage. I'm not the one that calls it adultery. Jesus called it adultery. If I divorce my wife for any reason other than fornication and marry another, I've got to terminate that adulterous marriage if I don't want to be forgiven for it and go to heaven. That's just the truth of the matter. Now, if you have a Bible question on this topic, on this point, or any other Bible topic, give us a call at 877-655-6755. The lines are wide open. You can get right on the air, I think. The number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. Now, one reason I picked this topic to talk about tonight is because I have a public debate coming up the end of this week, Thursday and Friday night in London, Kentucky, on this very issue. If a man divorces his wife for a reason other than fornication and marries another, that's adultery. Does he have to terminate the marriage if he wants to be right with God, if he wants to receive forgiveness for that? I'm going to be contending in the debate that he does have to terminate the marriage. And the preacher, Derek, who's going to be debating me, he's going to say, no, if they get a divorce, regardless of the reason, and they remarry, they can stay in that second marriage, regardless of the reason for the divorce. The question is, do you have to terminate an adulterous marriage? Adulterous marriage defined by Matthew 19:9. You have to terminate that. I'm going to be contending that they do have to terminate this adulterous marriage. Derek will be contending that they don't. We're going to have a two-night debate, March 21st and 22nd, this Thursday and Friday night in London, Kentucky. That's about halfway between Knoxville, Tennessee and Lexington, Kentucky. If you would like more details about this debate, if you're within reasonable driving distance, I would like to invite you to come. To know the address of the church building it's going to be held in and the times and everything and the propositions, I'll be glad to send you a flyer so you'll have all of that. I want you to call me after the program. At the end of the program, I'm going to give my phone number, my cell number, where you can call or text me. Then offline, you can give me your email address and I'll send you a flyer for this debate coming up the end of this week via email so you'll know the exact location, the address of the church building. This the city, London, Kentucky, this Thursday and Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. If you're within a couple hours, I think it'd be very worthwhile for you to come. Each of the disputants, the apologists, myself, Patrick, and Derek, each night will both have three 20-minute speeches apiece. So the first night, I'll be speaking for 20 minutes in the affirmative. Then Derek will speak. I will speak. He'll speak. 3 20-minute speeches apiece. And the point of having a debate instead of just a sermon is we're supposed to respond to each other's arguments and points and say, well, this is why Pat is wrong, or this is why Derek is wrong. On the second night, he'll be speaking first. He'll be in the affirmative. Again, the second night, 3 20-minute speeches by each apologist, alternating, no interruptions allowed. This Thursday and Friday night, March 21st and 22nd, in London, Kentucky, which is about maybe an hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half north of Knoxville, Tennessee, about the same distance south of Lexington, Kentucky. If you're within a two-hour drive, love for you to come. I'm going to give my number at the end of the program for you to call or text me. I can get your email address. I'll send you the flyer so you'll know exactly all the details about the debate. And the debate centers around Matthew 19:9, which we just read, and its implications. Jesus said, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. If I do that, if I divorce Carol for a reason other than fornication, how about for incompatibility, which is the most common cause of divorce in the state of Alabama? And I marry another, let's say her name's Betty. Jesus says that marriage to Betty is adultery. He calls it adultery. Adultery, sexual sin. If I want to go to heaven, if I want to be forgiven for that adultery, I'm going to have to repent of it. What does that repentance mean? Does it mean I have to terminate the marriage? Or does it mean, can I just repent of that and stay in the marriage? Can I just say, God, I'm sorry, but I'm going to continue to commit the adultery. Please forgive me, even though I'm going to continue to commit it. I guess I said, not any more than two gay men who are married. You can say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for this gay sex. But oh, by the way, I plan to continue to commit it. Or a polygamous marriage. Let's just suppose I was married to two women at the same time. What do I have to do to repent of it? Do I have to terminate the second marriage and then remain monogamous with the first marriage? Or can I just say I'm sorry and stay with both women? We obviously know that's not repentance. That won't work. You can't be forgiven that way. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is going to demand a change in my life. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of action. If I've divorced Carol for incompatibility and married Betty, I'm committing adultery. If I'm really repenting of that adultery, I'm going to have a change of mind about it. It's going to lead to a change of action, which means I'm going to terminate in the marriage with Betty, quit the adultery so I can be forgiven and seek reconciliation with Carol. That's what the debate is all about. You send me an email at patdonahue@bellsouth.com. Excuse me, I said that wrong. patdonahue@bellsouth.net. patdonahue@bellsouth.net. Ask for the flyer, the announcement for the debate, and I'll send it to you. That's Matthew 19:9. And now the second part of Matthew 19:9 reads this way. And whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, give me a call, 877-655-6755. And the number to call is 877-655-6755. Whoever marries her which is put away doth commit adultery. So if I divorce Carol for incompatibility, not only is it adultery for me to remarry, it's adultery for Carol to remarry also. You know why? Because we are still bound or obligated to one another. Let me read you that from Romans 7:2-3. Here's Romans 7:2-3. It says, for the woman which hath an husband is bound, and that means obligated, by the law to her husband, so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loose from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. When Carol and I made the vows to one another, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, in this key phrase, till death do us part. That's the commitment that God expects me to follow through on. Till death, that's what marriage is. Marriage is a contract or a commitment, an agreement for life. And that's what this verse teaches. Here it says the wife is bound or obligated to her husband as long as he lives. And so if she were to divorce him for incompatibility, that doesn't change the fact that she's bound or obligated to him as long as he lives. If he's still alive, then if she's married to another man, she's committing adultery. So if I divorce Carol for incompatibility and marry again, and she marries again, Carol does, we're both committing adultery because we're both still bound or obligated to one another. God expects us to follow through on that original commitment. And just because the state of Alabama said it's okay for me to get a divorce and remarry, that doesn't mean that God says that it's okay. when I get this divorce, and if it's not for fornication, which is the only reason God approves of, Matthew 19:9, which we read a while ago, when I get that divorce, if I remarry, if she remarries, we're both committing adultery against one another because God is still expecting us to follow through on that commitment. If you have a Bible question or comment on this or any other Bible topic, call us at 877-655-6755. Now back to Matthew 19:9, where Jesus said this, whoever puts away their wife except it be for fornication and marries another commits adultery. You know how the disciples responded to that? They're the ones listening. Verse 10, his disciples saying to him, if the case of the man be so with his wife, it is not good to marry. It's not good to marry. So I think they understood the seriousness of this. They said, well, maybe a man ought to rethink about whether or not he should get married if he's, if this is, God's going to be so strict on the divorce law. He is strict on the divorce law. The only scriptural reason you can divorce your spouse is if they cheat on you sexually for fornication. Any other cause is a sin. It's a violation of God's marriage and divorce law. And if you remarry, that's the second sin, adultery. That's just the way it is. We have to stand for what the Bible says, no matter how hard it may seem. The disciples thought, well, this is kind of hard. It's better for a man not to marry. Well, if you think it's hard, don't marry. But this is God's marriage law, and we're going to have to stick with it because God is our ultimate authority. And just like when my dad left for work in the morning, before I got up, he would leave me some instructions about what I needed to do that day. He would give me a list of what I had to do that day during the summer. Since God has left us instructions in the Bible, God is our authority. His instructions then become our authority. And his instructions say you can't divorce and remarry unless the cause is for fornication. If you do it for any other reason, it's adultery. And what we're going to be saying in the debate at the end of this week, and the truth is, you got to get out of that marriage if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be right with God. Let's look at an Old Testament era illustration of this. I say era because you're going to read about this in the New Testament. But when you read about this in Mark 6, it's while the Old Testament was still binding. Because when Jesus was preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament was still binding. The Old Testament did not cease being binding, according to Colossians 2:14, until Jesus died on the cross. Then the New Testament became binding after that. While Jesus was living, during the days of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Old Testament law was still binding. And that's, we're going to read about Herod and Herodias here. According to secular history, Herod had divorced his wife. Herodias had divorced her husband. Now Herod's married Herodias. John the Baptist confronts Herod. Mark 6:17 and 18. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Herod's divorced. Herodias is divorced. According to secular history, they marry. John the Baptist confronts them and he says, it's not lawful for you to have her. Now notice he didn't just say it was unlawful for you to marry her. He said, it's not lawful for you to have her. In Alabama, it's against the law to possess marijuana. If you have some marijuana and you want to get right with the law of Alabama, you're going to have to get rid of it. Burn it, throw it in the garbage, give it to the police. You can't continue to possess it. As long as you possess it, you're breaking the law. It's not lawful for you to possess it. And that's what John the Baptist, in effect, is saying to Herod. It's not lawful for you to have her, to possess her as your wife. John the Baptist obviously is demanding that Herod and Herodias terminate their marriage relationship. They're married all right enough. The Bible says they're married, but it's an unscriptural marriage. It's an unscriptural marriage. Just like a polygamous marriage is a marriage, but it's an unscriptural marriage. You're not supposed to be married to two women at one time. The second marriage would be a marriage, but unscriptural. John the Baptist says it's not lawful for you to have her. He's demanding that Herod terminate that marriage. You know, a lot of preachers won't do that. Have you ever heard your preacher say about anybody in the congregation, they're in an unscriptural marriage, they need to terminate the marriage? Well, I doubt it. Why? Is the truth that hard to understand? No. It's because, maybe because the preacher's scared of losing a few members that will disagree with him, losing some contribution. So pretty much generally 95% of the churches don't stand for the truth on this. But John the Baptist was willing to stand for the truth of divorce and remarriage in his day, even though in Mark 6 he lost his head over it. Herodias got so mad, she had John the Baptist's head cut off. John the Baptist said it's not lawful for you to have her, implying they needed to terminate that marriage. Herodias got mad. His head was cut off. Does your preacher have that much courage? Does he have enough courage to say what Jesus said in Matthew 19:9? If you put away your spouse for any reason other than fornication, remarry, that's adultery. And whoever marries that put away woman committing adultery. Do we have enough courage to say that? And of course, the implication would be like in Mark 6:17-18, the implication is if they want to be right with God and go to heaven, they're going to have to terminate that marriage. You can't stay in an unlawful or adulterous marriage and go to heaven. Got a Bible question or comment? Give us a call at 877-655-6755. 877-655-6755. You know, it's even wrong to divorce, even if you don't remarry. Here's my Matthew 5:31-32. Jesus said, it had been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Again, a quote from Deuteronomy 24:1. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Now notice, the man putting away his wife in Matthew 19:9 is said to remarry, he commits adultery. In this verse in Matthew 5, it's very similar, but it doesn't talk about the man putting away his wife and remarrying. It just talks about the man putting away his wife, and that's it. It doesn't say that he remarries. It doesn't say he remarries and commits adultery, but what it does say, when he divorces his wife, and if it's for any reason other than fornication, he causes her, that is the wife he put away, to commit adultery. What he's doing is he's putting her into a place of undeserved sexual temptation, as defined by 1 Corinthians 7:3-5. You have to render due benevolence sexually to your spouse. And when you don't do that because you've divorced her, even if you never remarry, you cause her to be put into a place of undeserved sexual temptation so that if she decides to have relations with another man, perhaps marry another man and get married, she's committed adultery. That's her sin, but you caused it. You commit a sin even if you divorce your wife and never remarry, because God expects you to fulfill those vows to stay together till death do us part. That's God's rule. And there's only one exception to that. You can divorce them for fornication. Unless they cheat on you, you can't divorce them from any other reason. You can't even divorce them if you're planning on staying unmarried for the rest of your life. You cannot do that. If you put away your wife, saving for the cause of fornication, verse 32, you cause her to commit adultery. And again, it says, whoever marries her that is divorced committeth adultery. Sometimes people will say, yeah, but if I got put away and I wasn't for it, I didn't do anything wrong, I can get remarried. Or they might use 1 Corinthians 7:15 and say a person that's deserted can remarry. No, this verse says if they put you away, if you're deserted, they put you away. If you remarry, you commit adultery. It goes back to Romans 7:2-3. You're bound to your spouse as long as they live. If I divorce Carol for incompatibility, I'm still bound or obligated to her. So if I marry somebody else, I'm committing adultery. If Carol divorces me, I didn't want the divorce. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm still bound or obligated to her as long as she lives, so that if I go out and remarry, even though she deserted me, I commit adultery if I remarry. That's what this passage says. That's what Mark 10:11-12 says. That's what Matthew 19:9 says. That's what Luke 16:18 says. Whoever puts away his wife, Luke 16:18, and marries another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband, committeth adultery. If you divorce your spouse for any reason other than fornication, Matthew 19:9, and marry another, you commit adultery. And if your wife remarries, she commits adultery. I've been told most churches, 20% of the membership is in a second or third marriage. It's adulterous, according to Matthew 19:9. We're going to have to terminate those marriages if we want to be saved. You got to repent to receive forgiveness, Luke 13:3. And to repent, you got to be changing your mind. A change of mind that leads to a change of action. You can't say, I'm sorry about this adultery, this second marriage, God, but I plan to stay in it. No, you have to terminate that marriage. Repentance means I'm getting out of that marriage. I'm going to quit the adultery. Seek reconciliation with your original spouse. That's the topic of the debate this Thursday and Friday night in London, Kentucky. I'm going to be contending for what the Bible says, that if you get in that second or third marriage, it's an unlawful, adulterous marriage to be right with God and go to heaven, to avoid the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, Revelation 21:8. That's where all the sexually immoral are going to be. You have to terminate that adultery, that adulterous marriage. Seek reconciliation with the original spouse. The other debater, the other apologist, Derek, will be contending, no, you can get into a second or third marriage that violates Matthew 19:9, but you can stay in that marriage and still be right with God. Come to the debate. You need more details? Call me or text me. If you want a free one-hour phone Bible study with me, call or text me at 256-682-9753. Thank you.